Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life.
At that time, it was not incest. Marriages back in this day, it was not troubled with genetic problems. By the time we get to the time of Moses, the human genetic code had gotten so polluted with sin that close intermarriage was no longer safe. So if you look in Leviticus chapter 18, God made incest forbidden in his law. Now incest is forbidden later in the law in Moses' day, but not at this time, okay? So Cain and his wife produced an entire godless society in the land of Nod. Genesis 4:19. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. God never ordained this either. Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Then Lamech said to his wives, he's about to brag. Y'all check this out. He says, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. Mr. Macho Man here. I killed people, and I want you all to hear about it, because I'm going to talk big. Okay. Lamech altered God's plan by marrying two wives. Okay, God never ordained multiple wives. Yes, even for Solomon, okay? Lamech is the one that started that mess. But look at how much more messed up Lamech was than what Cain was. Within just five generations down from Cain, murder is no longer something to be sorry about. Murder is no longer a big deal. Who cares, so what? I killed somebody, big whoop. I'm going to brag about it. He's bragging about killing somebody, killing some people. Wives, come listen to me talk big. I killed somebody. I'm tough. Can you see how much worse it has gotten with Cain's offspring now over this bit of time? Can you also see what happens when a society chooses to live separated from God? When a society decides we don't need God in our culture, in a godless society, what they end up doing is they kill at their own will. Yes, I am touching abortion. This is a godless society. Murder is no big deal. But now look at what Lamech says next. Genesis 4:24. He said, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. After boasting about killing somebody, oh, look how tough I am, Lamech demanded that more protection from vengeance should be given to him than the protection that God put over Cain. I should be protected more. Here's a guy saying he should be allowed to kill whenever he wants to, and he actually believes that God should cover him for it. I'm telling you guys, this is in our nation right now. I am not talking politics with you. Don't even try that with me. I'm not doing liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican. I'm not doing that. I'm talking the word of God. This is a bad, godless, wicked, evil civilization. And they think killing is no big deal. And it's my, get this, my right. He's saying it's my right and God needs to cover me. It's terrible. So you have a bad culture going really bad, but there's going to be another culture that's going to go right. I don't want to storm on you too much. This isn't good news. Genesis 4:25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also was a son born. and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. Oh, I needed that. One society going wrong, but you got another society going right. What a contrast to Cain's culture of evil that Seth himself was given as provision from God. Seth was given as a blessing from God to start a line of righteous men who would finally stop doing everything their way, but call on the name of the Lord God. That's the culture I want to live in, that I call upon the name of the Lord. When things look hard and difficult, oh, what's going on? I'm not going to worry about it. Lord God, get me out of this. And what does Scripture say about these kinds of people? It says in Romans 10, verse 13, it says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You will. This is a promise. You got to call on him with faith for real. Cain's line was separated from God, but Seth's line would be a line of people who would have a close relationship with God. Now, let's think about how the text says that Adam knew Eve. I want to talk about that. We read that Adam knew Eve and she had a son. We also read that Cain knew his wife. Okay, this word knew, it means they had close physical intimacy with each other. Now, I want you to take a look at Matthew 7:21 with me, and I want you to take that context along with you. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?'" Oh, look how great we are. Verse 23, "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you.'" See that? "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Oh, God wouldn't send nobody to help. Says it right there. "I never knew you." What did Jesus mean by this? "I never knew you." It means I never had any close spiritual intimacy with you. You never wanted to be close to me. You wanted to do things your way, my way. You were always mad. You were always angry at me for me just trying to help you, and you never let me be close. Friends, anyone who chooses not to let the Lord be close and let him know them will be condemned. Now, I want to paint a picture for you real quick. People who are condemned, it's because Jesus never knew them. It's not about you knowing him. I talk to people all the time. They say, "Well, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I know the Lord." I didn't ask if you knew him. I asked, does he know you? If I drove up to the White House and said, "I'm here to see the President of the United States," they would look on a list and they go, "Well, you're not on the list." I said, "Well, I know who he is." Like, "Well, he don't know you. You're not coming in." Doesn't matter if you know Jesus. Does Jesus know you? These people here in Matthew 7, they thought they were saved based on all the great stuff they've done. "Oh, Lord, look at all the great stuff we did. We all did it in your name. Look how great we are, Lord God. We did all this great and wonderful stuff." This just proves that these people who are doing talk back to the Lord, he's like, "No, you can't be here." No, wait, Lord, we did all this stuff in your name. It proves they had no idea that salvation is not based on anything you can do. Salvation is completely, totally, 100% based on what Jesus has done on the cross. Salvation has nothing to do with anything you can do about it. It's about what Jesus did. These people here in Matthew 7, oh, look at all the stuff we did. They're trying to convince God, arguing with him. Look at our list of things that we did. And they're trying to justify themselves by saying, "We did it in your name, though." See, this is people saying, "I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to do what you want to do. I'm bringing stuff from the ground. I'm not bringing sheep, but gosh, I did it in your name. Come on, that's got to count for something." God's like, "No, you're disobedient. Get out of here. I never knew you. You never wanted to be close to me. Depart from me, for I never knew you." I hope to God none of you ever hear that. Because anybody who hears that from the Lord, that is going to be the saddest moment of your existence to hear that. Thinking you're saved and you weren't. Cain argued with God too. He tried to convince God his murder was no big deal. And it resulted in Cain's separation from God, just like depart from me. It resulted in separation, a separation that Cain chose. I want you to understand that. God's not unfair and impatient. Cain decided it. He chose it on multiple levels when God tried to help him many, many times. Cain just didn't like the consequences of his sin. And that's something you cannot dismiss, is the consequences that sin brings. Like I said, you can choose your sins, but you never get to choose the consequences that come along with it. And the consequences hurt, and thank God they hurt, because God's trying to get you to snap out of it and wake up and turn around. Says, hey, listen to me. I can tell you how to do better next time. God always gives us a way out. James 1:14 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Now look at this. When sin is full grown, it brings forth death. Sin starts as, oh, it's just a sin. Oh, it's no big deal. I just killed somebody. I just stole a piece of chewing gum or, you know, some little thing. But when that sucker grows up, it's going to wreck your life. Now, this is how Cain's sin ended up causing Abel's murder. It started off with just, checkbox. Come on, God, here's your offering, whatever. That's how it started. But when it got to its fullness, its maturity, it resulted in a death, in a murder. And God said that Abel's blood yelled in his ears. America, Abel was just one person. What do you think the deafening sound of 64 million murdered souls sounds like, screaming in the Lord's ears for vengeance? What do you think that sounds like? If you have committed this, I want you to know right now there is forgiveness, okay? And it's fine if you want forgiveness. But for those that say, no, it's my right, and they justify it away, you need to reckon with what happened to Cain. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking God's word. If Abel's life should have been protected, then so should the lives of all people, all of them. Not just the abortion subject. I'm talking about people and groups that you don't like. All people have a right to live. All of them. We have a nation full of people who don't take God seriously. Just like Cain when he gave a faithless their checkbox offering. Guys, we should serve the Lord by faith. And it should be our best. You saw Abel, he didn't just bring some sheep. He brought his best. And the fat of them, it says. That means the best ones, biggest ones he's got. We should do our very best work and serve the Lord God with excellence. Serve the Lord God with excellence. Don't just say, there, I did it. Again, any of you who work out there in industry, if you have an employee, well, there, I did it. But it's not your best, buddy. You need to be doing better than that. I know you can do better than that. If we expect that from our employees, why shouldn't God expect that from us? Our best should be done by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Friends, Cain was not diligent seeking the Lord God. He was not diligent about his offering. Let me give you an idea of diligence. I misplaced my keys one time. And I didn't need to go anywhere, so I looked, and I'll find them eventually. One day I misplaced my keys, and I had to be somewhere real soon. Buddy, I was diligent about looking for my keys. I have to find them. I turned everything upside down trying to find those keys. That's diligence. Cain wasn't diligent. We should be diligent in our walk with God. Abel gave by faith. He was diligent. Cain did not give by faith. He was not very diligent. And that's why the Lord did not respect Cain's offering. But friends, I want you to look at how patient God was with Cain. For anybody hearing me today on the radio, wherever you are, and you're starting to think this thing over, I don't know, maybe I need to get right with the Lord, but man, I've messed up so bad. Or flip side, I'm such a wonderful person, and you're beating your chest about how awesome you are. Either we've seen both sides of the coin in this story. Friends, I want you to look how God talked with Cain. He counseled him. He gave him opportunities to get right. And I'll tell you, if you are still breathing, that means God is being patient with you. He is waiting for an answer from you. He's still giving you a chance. And even the sinners that we are, like I said, Paul said, I am the chief of all sinners. I echo what Paul said. I am the biggest sinner in the room here today. Why God chose me to be a pastor is only because He wants to show how forgiving He is. It's all I can say. Even the sinners that we are, God is also very, very patient with us. Psalm 16, verse 7 says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. The Lord is trying to work with you. For some, He's trying to work with you right now through this message. Please hear it. The problem with Cain, he didn't want to listen. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to share the gospel with people, not having it. They just don't want it. I couldn't sleep at night if I didn't know I was saved by the Lord God. Proverbs 15, verse 5, this is God's word here, okay? It says, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who complies with rebuke is sensible. It's very good to listen to counsel, godly counsel from the Lord God, from His word. God worked with Cain, telling him, hey, you can rule over sin. Let's do better next time. We can do this together. I'll help you. But Cain was too full of himself to take a healthy rebuke. He wouldn't hear it. Friends, every time that you are confronted with sin, please remember how the Lord said, you can rule over this. Guys, when you're in front of that computer and nobody's looking, you can rule over this. You just need to decide to do it. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There is not one sin or temptation that comes after you that you don't have a way out. God gives you a way out every time. Question is, are you listening to God's counsel or not? I want you to remember how Cain tried to rationalize his sin away. I'm not my brother's keeper. I'm not responsible for him. He tried to argue with God. He tried to dismiss his guilt. It's no big deal. The funny thing that gets me is that he was scared at the thought of somebody doing the same thing to him. Just like Lamech when he killed people and bragged about it, but he said, I get to do it to other people, but nobody better touch me. Let me give you an answer to this one. Luke 6:31, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. I'm trying to really get a hold of that. I had somebody recently ask me the other day. They said, Ray, can you give me some wisdom in life? I'm trying to learn to do things better as a Christian. What's something you've learned? I said, you know what? I've learned to value everyone. I try to value every person, even the people that have done me wrong. Friends, God bless Cain, even though Cain was a sinner. Now, I want us to parallel that real quick. God blesses us, even though we are sinners. Don't just look at Cain and point at him, oh, you Cain, oh, you Cain. Look at yourself. Oh, Ray. Ray, you know you sinned. You know you did it. God graciously gave Cain a mark of protection from avengers. Friends, with us being sinners too, did you know that God offers you a mark of protection? I want to show that to you. It's too important not to. Ephesians 1:13 says, having believed in the gospel, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Our inheritance is eternal life with Father God. And He wants to mark you with that, to protect you. God graciously gave Cain a place to go for refuge, though. Did you know that God gave you a place to go for refuge? I know he was banished. He was in trouble. But he says, I want you to leave because he became a threat to society, but it was a refuge place for Cain to go. Look at 2 Samuel 22 and 3. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust. My shield, there's your covering. And the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. God could have just killed Cain right off the map. He could have wiped him off for what he did to Abel, but he didn't. He said, you're banished, you're in trouble, go that way, but I'm going to put a mark on you. Friends, how much grace does it take for God to paint in His picture in the Word of God before you receive it and say, gosh, I want that. It's such a good deal. But Cain didn't listen. That's the thing I want you to hear today. I want you to listen to this. Cain didn't listen. Didn't mean anything to him. He rejected God to the bitter end. Will you listen? Today, we saw what happens to a society that chooses to live separated from the Lord. They kill people and they demand that it's their right to, while refusing to take responsibility for their actions. But the Lord says you can rule over this sin. God won't let sin go unpunished. That's something I want everybody to know. He won't let it go. He's a just judge. But that's also why God sent Jesus Christ to take our punishment for us. My sin produced a penalty too big for me to pay. If I'd have paid for it myself, it would take me an eternity in condemnation in the fires of hell. That's my place I don't want to go. I don't want you to go either. But Jesus came and paid for it all at once, all in one day on the cross for you. Are you going to walk with him now? From this thought, Jesus paying for our sin, I want you to consider in verse 2 that we read, it said that Abel was a keeper of what particular kind of animal? He was a keeper of sheep. So why did God respect Abel's offer? I'm going to take you now from the very first book in the Bible all the way to the very last book of the Bible. We're going to jump the whole thing to Revelation 7:10. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I just showed you Jesus Christ in Genesis all the way to Revelation. Jesus Christ is all the way through the whole Bible, even the Old Testament. John 1:29 says, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, which means look, check it out, guys. He says, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So even though Cain sinned, God offered him a gracious way out, but Cain would not listen. He chose to walk away and live on his own terms. We have all sinned, all of us, but God still offers you a gracious way out, and he offers you a way out through the blood of the Lamb. Jesus spilled his blood on the cross to pay our death penalty. The reason it took blood to pay our death penalty is because blood is life. It covers death. We were all going to hell. God says, I don't want you to go there. I want to be close to you. And I know you can't pay your way out, but I'll pay it for you. Will you accept it? No, I don't want it, and walk away. Some people do that. Please don't let that be you. This whole ministry, if I was to concentrate it to one laser-focused point, it would be this. Give your life to Jesus. Give it to him. We have all sinned, but God offers you a gracious way out. The question is, will you listen, or will you walk away from the Lord's presence, or will you choose to walk in the Lord's presence by faith? But if you choose to give your life to Jesus, you have to be genuine about it. It had better be real. No checkbox religion. There I did it, like Cain did. Decide today to commit to a life for Jesus Christ. Father God, forgive me of my sin. I am so deserving of every bit of condemnation you give. I did it. You got me. You busted me. I'm guilty. Thank you for offering me eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son. I give you my life. I give you my life. Take over, Lord God. It's now your way, not mine. Thank you for coming to save a messed up guy like me. You didn't even have to. But you did. I don't deserve your mark, but I accept it. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life.